This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Helmets on, kiddos. Good afternoon. This is BFM 89.9, and all this week we're highlighting children's road safety with a specific focus on the importance of kids' helmets. In fact, you can sponsor one today for just 50 ringgit over at bfm.my/helmets. Now, on with the show. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Jeff Sandu,
Arvind Devraj.
If you're only just joining us right now, earlier on we were talking about how you can predict your mental health using data, DARPA, Harper, what was the other one?
Safe house
yeah, or something or other. Yeah. We're moving away from that, but if you'd like to contribute into the discussion, 018-789-8899 via WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Arv now has a story about credit cards leveraging on streaming services.
Yeah, so you know how normally when you go to the shopping mall and then the credit card salespeople or the credit card agents, they walk up to you, they block your way, they like literally block your way, and then they're trying to pitch a new credit card to you. They'll say things like, bonus rewards or extra points or loyalty points or free petrol,
cashback,
stuff like that, just to get you to sign up for their card, right? But in the US, they're doing something different. Like credit card companies or sales pitchers are moving away from all the traditional stuff, and they're moving into a new bracket called millennial-friendly services.
Ooh.
Yeah, which include transport or public transport and transit, and especially streaming services. So cards like American Express, Chase, Wells Fargo, they now feature streaming as a bonus. Like Wells Fargo gives triple points back per dollar spent on streaming services. Blue Cash Preferred Card gives 6% cash back on the same services. And Chase Freedom has a 5% cash back scheme. So that's all okay. But the numbers behind why they are doing that is actually more interesting than the benefits that they're giving out.
Crunch me some numbers, Arv.
Crunching. So according to Deloitte's Digital Media Trend Survey, more than half of US households subscribe to paid video streaming services. The percentage grew from 10% in 2009 to 55% in 2017, which was a 450% increase. And consumers subscribe to an average of three streaming services per household, or three accounts per household, streaming services alone.
Yeah, yeah.
70% of Gen Z households between the ages of 14 and 20, they have a streaming subscription, and 68% of millennial households 21 to 34, they have a streaming service. But the experts are also saying that it's about credit card issuers speaking in a language to younger consumers because they don't see free petrol and loyalty points and stuff as enticing.
Or mileage.
Mainly because they don't have cars. Like a lot of younger people don't own cars.
They're just doing the same tricks. They're just change the language.
Yeah, change the language. And on the flip side, younger people are less likely to sign up for a credit card.
Yeah.
So including things like streaming service in the package is more likely to get them hooked. They're saying
hooked.
Yeah.
I like the word you use there.
Yeah.
Because it's accurate.
It is accurate.
Yes.
And the logic behind why they're doing this is simple. Because if a consumer opens a credit card when they're young, according to the credit card companies, the issuer can build a long-term relationship with the consumer.
You mean lifelong debt?
Yes. And as the consumer gets older and begins to spend more, the credit card company has already secured their business. Because you are familiar with the card and you have the card, so you're not going to give it up. Especially if you have an outstanding on the card, then there's no way you can give up the card. You're just stuck with it. Imagine if you are earning less and you're spending more with the card. Now you are stuck with the card until you finish off the debt.
Right. Yeah.
So you're basically a long-time customer they get you early.
Did they mention how young they're trying to, like, the age group that they're trying to target?
Gen Z. So 14 to 20. So I think the 14 onwards, they don't qualify. So maybe 18 to 20. Yeah. And millennials who have the streaming services, so 21 to 34.
So all of us then, right?
All of us. And, on the flip side, younger people are less likely to sign up for credit cards. So including those things, it makes a difference. But that's one side of the story. The other side is the best part about subscription services is that they have staying power because they have something called set it and forget it transactions. It's in an own bracket called set it and forget it. So if you use one card provider for an automated payment each month, you're more likely to keep going even if you never take that card out of your wallet.
Yeah.
So you sign up for streaming service and you sign up for their auto debit, and then you can even keep the card at home, but it's automatically being transacted every month.
Yeah.
And the word they use for this, the phrase they use for this is active cards are sticky cards. So the subscription model is perfect for credit cards because it's a guaranteed monthly spend and the card is always active even if you never physically swipe it.
So I've got two credit cards that basically does, you know, what they're saying here is what use it and forget it or something.
Set it and forget it.
So yeah. I've got one for my recurring, you know, streaming services, my cell phone bill, my gym membership, where it's a recurring fee. Every month at a certain date, they will charge me that amount. And then I'll, you know, I don't have to physically use the card. And then I've got another credit card where I then use it for my shopping. So if I'm going out somewhere and buying something, whether it's using for my petrol, it's buying a new pair of shoes somewhere, then or like, you know, doing e-commerce purchasing, I will then use a different credit card. So I have one card that I know what is my regular, you know, commitments that I have. And then the other is for my extra expenses, right? But I want to ask you, Arf, because does this tempt you if there is a credit card that, you know, comes up to you? It's like, you know, hey, Arf, you've got this credit card that will offer you, you know, 6% cash back on, you know, Blu-ray services that you buy and, you know, 10% cash back on iFlix, Netflix, all the streaming providers, 50%, you know, extra points on Spotify and stuff like that. Does it tempt you?
It would. Like, honestly, it would.
Really?
Yeah.
It would for me too.
I want to say that it wouldn't, but the first card that I got, the first ever credit card that I got, the thing that pulled me was that you can get a buy one, free one ticket at one of the cinemas. Like, I forgot which one. I don't know if it was TGV or GSC.
Speaks to you.
Yeah, but that package, it had like, if you swipe this on a Friday or a Saturday morning or something like that, if you swipe the card, you get the other ticket for free.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that made me sign up for the card. And I went like, oh, this is something I can use. They were going on about other things like petrol and mileage and
matters.
Yeah, you can get stuff from the catalog and so I'm like, I don't need any of this, but the buy one free one ticket, that enticed me. And that's why I got the first card. So if I saw like streaming service, you know, 10% cash back, 15% cash back, 3 month free Spotify, I would be like, ooh, okay, maybe I can switch to this card.
Because that's my own like behavior that I notice as well. Like I switched from one credit card provider to another credit card provider simply because I was traveling a lot more often in my car, and one of the banks that I'm associated with was offering a cashback if you pump petrol with a certain petrol station.
Right.
So I was like, hang on a minute, that could be really interesting because I, you know, I spend a lot on petrol every month. It's nearly about 700-800 ringgit a month. So I thought, like, even if I could get, you know, a 10% cashback, that's 70 ringgit of my 700 ringgit that I spent. So then I decided to move to that provider. And then I signed up for a secondary credit card because it was offering me travel miles. And, you know, and it was at a point of time where I was doing a lot of travels, and I thought, maybe, you know, this will come in handy because if I were to shop at, you know, the airport, I get a certain, you know, discount with certain brands. I get extra points that I can redeem to upgrade to, you know, business class and so on and forth. So I was like, ooh, this is pretty tempting. Bear in mind, I've still, you know, haven't got a free upgrade to the business class, even though I've been traveling like a lot, but, you know, my points are still way off from, you know, getting a free upgrade. But it's just that, you know, that, oh, cool, I'm actually, you know, possibly when I'm 55 years old and a million ringgit in debt, I could then just go like, I can upgrade to business class.
Couple of things. I got a free upgrade to Los Angeles via Cathay Pacific. Thank you very much, Cathay Pacific. just because right place, right time.
Yeah.
Things were going wrong in Hong Kong. It seemed that, you know. But I have not had a credit card for a very long time. And I've spoken to you guys about this before. The only reason I ever had a credit card was I was moving away to China, and I needed a way of being able to buy plane tickets in a hurry. And because at that point when I was moving, I didn't have many savings, and I thought, right, the only way to do it is to get myself a credit card. And it was a credit card like the one you've got, Jeff, that gives you really good miles when you purchase. But the downside was that the APR on it was 30% at the time. Ridiculous. And I'm still signed up with that credit card, but I don't use it. Now, when I went to the States, what I did was to get one of those big pay cards, which have been doing the rounds lately, and I found it incredibly useful, apart from when I went to the hotel and you try to check in and they say, sir, we need your credit card. And I go, I'm one of probably two people in the entire world that does not own a credit card anymore. And so they kind of looked at me and they're like, oh. And I said, there must be another way of doing it. So, of course, you can. You use your debit card and whatever. But something even as simple as this would still not tempt me to go over to credit cards. I know people say you need it for
I think it's kudos to you.
People still say you need it for your credit rating. You need it for this. You need it for that. Yeah. I'm not buying into that, you know. I'd rather stay as close to debt-free as possible, as I can.
My worry is that it's targeting the youth, right?
That's
that
what
they want
worries
me. That longevity, you know, if you get you at 18 years old, when you know you're 35, you're earning a decent amount of money, and you have a family to provide and stuff, you know, at least then this credit card provider has been with you since you're 18. Has that, you know, connection bond and stuff. It's not really that. It's just that they have hooked you in.
Exactly. And they've probably got you when you're 18, as you've enrolled into university, in your first week there at the Freshers' Fair or whatever, when they come around and they're like, hey, we can help you out with your bills and we can help you out with dish and we're giving you great cash
special
back,
student
special
card.
Student card.
Yeah.
And you, with your glossy young eyes, go, okay, I'll take that, without realizing that, like Jeff said, by the time you're 34, 35, and you've got a credit card that has a 20,000 ringgit limit or a 30,000 ringgit limit, and you're just using it
risky
rant over. Good story though, Arv. I really like that. Right, it's time for us to wrap up on this segment. When we come back, we have one more story left. It's all about how YouTubers are making retail jobs even harder. But if you'd like to feedback regarding Jeff's first story predicting your mental health using data, please do so. WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Music coming up right now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.